You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is 11/24/21, day before Thanksgiving in the U.S. You know, on FSN, we always examine a number of different ways to make money, from real estate to stocks to precious metals to cryptos. If there's any way to make money off of something legally, then we're interested to get above average returns. And risk is always a factor. You might think when you look at the stock market and options, very risky trade. And it certainly can be. But person you're about to hear from has figured out a path forward. Hundreds of people have taken his course. And he is a go-to guy for options. His name is Cody Yeh. CodyYeh.com, CodyYeh.com. And Cody, it's great to have you on the show. So options, like you mentioned, you were 18, you came to Canada, student visa, you had no idea how to make money, how to hold on to money. Obviously, you're a couple of years older now. What have you learned?
First of all, thanks for having me, Carrie. Thanks for having me on your podcast. Yes. So, you know, I've been on the journey of reaching financial freedom or financial independence really after graduating from university. So yes, I did, came here with a, I came to Canada with a study visa, went to engineering school at University of Toronto. Some people think they're the best school in Canada, but you know, arguably I'm not going to say any strong statement. And it's from there, I was working a full-time job and then I was day trading at one point. Had a coach, and I was playing the stock option strategy and stabilizing them, right, for years before I started teaching it to other people. So now that, like you said, I've helped hundreds of people reach their financial freedom, and some part of them are getting towards that stage. You know, they most of them invest in real estate, and they want an extra stream of income from stock option. That's where they, you know, kind of back in story of that.
Yeah. So, real estate. Stocks. We're in an inflationary environment. See, prices are way up this year alone. Thanksgiving Day meal is up 20%. It's probably up even higher than that, depending where you buy your turkey. Your program here, is it deal that it does it deal with inflation? How to profit from inflation?
Yeah, very, very good question, Carrie. So, in my opinion, like we all know, I think most of the audience on your podcast knows that if you leave money in the bank, and GIC, getting paid less than 1% is not really a good idea to beat inflation. Because in Canada, the inflation is 6%. Now, based on our own calculation, it's actually 12 to 15%.
Correct.
In our opinion. Now, most of us are real estate investor, but also how stock option work hand in hand with real estate investing is that the real estate investing in Canada, because the price is very high, it's hard to find cash flow. Now, how do we protect ourselves? You mentioned about risk. Every single real estate we invest, we got to put in creative ways. So after we refinance, pull out most of the money, we want to still be a cash flow positive properties. Now, in case something do happen to the market, another 2008 happened, we can hold on to it. And of course, we focus on the fundamental, but we can hold on to it. The cash flow will carry itself, so we're not forced to sell. That's the same strategy we use in the stock option I'm teaching right now. Is we want to hold the stocks for 5 to 10 years. We did our fundamental analysis and we know the stock will go up in the long term. But if there's some short-term turbulence, you know, we can make money as an insurance company because we're selling insurance contract. We get paid premium regardless. That's kind of the idea for it.
Okay. So I think I was looking through your website. I saw you had option positions on stocks like Tesla.
Where do you see that? I mean, so Tesla has been part of the strategy, part of the portfolio. at this point, don't hold me accountable, no stock advice or anything, but I don't hold any Tesla at this point. Because in my opinion, you know, Tesla has, every time it guns up like parabolic, it'll kind of pull back. It happened a couple years ago. I'm not saying it won't go up more, but in the short term, I think is very vulnerable, especially when everything's kind of inflated. So I'd rather focus more on other more stabilized stock at this point and wait until Tesla to pull back a little bit when people are a little bit more fearful. It's like, oh, okay, maybe we went ahead of ourselves, start selling. And when I see a stabilize, some consolidation, then I'll get back in, right? Because, you know, a lot of people love Tesla. I'm actually thinking about getting a Model Y, but, you know, I'm still very careful with the stock investing. So I don't want to get caught at a really high point, right? Because the company has a great future from the fundamental standpoint, but the stock has really been inflated as well, right? And it's one of the company that I think it's more of a popularity contest stock instead of a fundamental stocks. There's a lot of true believer in it. They don't really care what price it is. They just want to pile money on it. So, you know, you still got to be careful on that and, you know, balance the both side of things, in my opinion.
Okay. So yeah, it is very inflated. I recently got a Model 3 myself. Love the
car. Congrats.
A lot of fun. But like you say, it is wildly inflated, arguably overpriced, but that's not for us to decide. That's for the market. But really, is this an inflation play, Tesla, or is it going to fall?
I really don't know. I mean, I think Tesla is definitely the pioneer in this space, and it basically disrupts every single thing. I used to work at Honda as a project manager, so automotive industry. Honda has a little bit of EV, but you know, they call it Clarity, and they fail big time, and they're focused on hydrogen and all that, and I haven't seen it still. So I think Tesla is definitely in the pioneer space, not just because of their technology, not just because of their battery, but because of the data they're collecting. They're way ahead of Google or Apple on that. So we all know that data is the power in the future. So that'll give it to them. But again, in the short-term stock market, we don't know, because there's a lot of fear and greed controlling all the short-term stock price, right? So is it an inflation play? It could be. But for me, is the strategy I'm focusing on is more on other blue chip stocks, you know, not giving stock advice, but, you know, kind of like the top of Dow Jones, top of S&P 500. And we know those stocks are doing well, continue to do well in the last 5 years. You know, we sell insurance contract on them, sell, you know, put options on them so we can potentially own them for cheaper. If we own them, we can rent them out, sell the cover call and get paid premium. So at the end of the day, we're getting paid 1-4%. You know, some people are getting more, but I just want to be very safe on the promise over deliver. 1-4% per month, we are beating inflation in that way, right? And we create the cash flow. That's how I retired 2 years ago when I quit my job, right? I have a big enough account, even making 1% is way more than what I'm spending. So all the other ones, real estate, active business, flipping business, is all plus for me. That's how I have peace of mind there.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that's what it's about, beating inflation, because right now, real rates are, if you look at a mortgage, let's just say you get it for 3%. And let's just say, according to John Williams shadow stats, inflation's at 14%. That means when you borrow money, you effectively have a negative 11% real rate. So how do you cash in on that leverage?
Yeah, so what I tell most of my alumni, again, it's not stock advice, any financial advice. I don't hold any license for that. It's just basically sharing what I do, and what I share with my alumni is what I do. I leave just enough cash in my account to survive for 6 months. That means all my rental property has a 6 month rent roll in them, in each account, in case another COVID hit. I'm not banking on government will pay another, you know, give us another bailout. So we keep that.
Why wouldn't personally, they do that? They're so good to us. Why wouldn't they?
I know they were treating us really well. I mean, most of them are well in this game as well. So they don't want anything to collapse. So they will do anything in their power to push it up, in our opinion, because, you know, that's in their favor too. But we can't bank on that. And I don't bank on any pension, anyone paying me when I retire. So I treat it as is. So I'm very pragmatic, and I always want the risk be taken care of. I have other insurance, whole life insurance. You know, I know we talk about the trust stuff before this before we start hitting recording button. And I'm looking at all these estate thing as well. I know I'm only 31, but those are the stuff I start buying, all these whole life insurance, right? The infinite banking since I was 23. And I already think I don't have kids yet, but I'm thinking about the next generation. How can I pass on the most? Not that I will pass it on for free, but if I need to, I want them to be protected. Because when I grew up, my family did not have that kind of financial literacy. And my dad make a lot of money. He's a well-known doctor in my home country. But guess what? Our family is very suffering a lot because of bad financial decision, right? So I'm about to be that first generation to turn it around.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. It's very difficult because everybody is smart when they look back, but looking ahead at trends and at ways to protect yourself, we're often very dumb in that respect, right?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Silver One Resources is an exploration and development company backed by strategic investors Eric Sprott and SSR Mining. At Silver One's Candelaria Mine project in Nevada, there is already a historic resource estimated at 127 million ounces of silver, which Silver One is developing and advancing. The company's Phoenix Silver Project, located within the Arizona Silver Belt, is an early-stage exploration project on which native silver vein fragments have been discovered near surface. One grab sample assay an astounding 14,688 ounces per ton. Yes, that's right, ounces, not grams. Silver One has tremendous exploration potential, is extremely leveraged to the price of silver, and is cashed up and poised to increase shareholder value. Silver One trades in New York under the ticker SLVRF and in Toronto under the ticker SVE. To learn more, go to silverone.com. That's silverone.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
I will say, like, we are our worst enemy because a lot of time we use our emotion too much. Even the most rational people use emotion to make the decision first, then use their rationale to justify that. But if we really look at a lot of the stock market or real estate market, a lot of time is like real estate market, even more open book. Where I am at in Toronto, Canada, we can see how much immigration coming into Canada every year for the next 5 years. We know how many of them are coming to Toronto. We know what's the housing supply. We know government's putting on a lot of stress on building more houses. They want more houses, but at the same time, you're doing the opposite thing. So it's more of an open book for us, but I can only speak for Toronto, Canada, right? And we already see, you know, COVID last year, even the government, like the Canadian Mortgage Committee come out and say, the house price will drop 20%, but actually went up 15 to 50% across the country, right? Where I invested, it went up like 30 to 40%. So, you know, who knows, but we can only do the right things from the fundamental standpoint. And we know that if something happened in the short term, we're not over leveraged, right? Even in stock option, we're not over leveraged. We're not using margin in real estate. We're not over leveraged. We have a safety bank set aside for the worst case possible. Then we can sleep at night and we will win in the long term. Just don't do dumb things, right? Just like Charlie Munger said, don't do dumb things. You're already way ahead of everyone else, right?
Yeah, the first rule of investing is don't lose money, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You can lose money in the short term, but in the long term, that should be, you should make decision based on the long term, right? So in the short term, there might be some unrealized loss, but you know, that's some fear and greed and short-term emotion that can dictate that.
Yeah. So fear and greed, that's what drives markets. Really simple. Greed is works obviously. Try to make as much money as you can as easily with as little of risk as possible. But the fear, it's two kinds of fear. Fear is of losing your money. And then FOMO, fear of missing out. So fear is really more powerful than greed, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely agree. And you can see that whenever the market drop, it drop a lot faster when it goes up, right? It drop like an elevator, goes up like an escalator. Mm. And really the hardest part, even if all my VIPs, all my alumni, is to think contrarian. When people are chasing a stock, a lot of times it's a FOMO. So you should think contrarian and be like, did the company really grew that much over the past year that it double or triple? Like probably not. You know, unless the financial statement can back it up. But in the long term, it's all earning a financial statement driven. But in the short term, it's a lot of greed and fear. And most people want to chase the high and they want to cut the loss when it come down, right? But in reality, we should do the opposite. If it's a good company, a draw big time, this is actually the time you should get in, right? Then in the long term, when people get back their sense, you are laughing because you know this is a lot more risk averse than anything else. But no, but in reality, most people just want to chase the high, they panic, sell at a loss, right? So they keep chasing the high, keep selling a loss. That's why they lose money, right? The number one reason why people lose money in stocks.
Yeah, buy high and sell low. Just the opposite of what you should be doing. You should be buying stuff when it's on sale, not when it's marked up to its highest level. But sometimes you don't know, like Tesla seemed really overpriced when it's at $100 a share. And now look at it, right?
Yeah, I think Tesla has a really high PE ratio. I know some people like Cody, I don't believe in PE ratio, but PE ratio could be a thing to look at, right? So right now, Tesla's PE ratio is around, I'm looking at it right now, 360. I remember last year, right coming out of COVID, Tesla's PE ratio was 1400. So, you know, PE ratio is, you know, it's a relative thing. You know, average PE ratio of S&P 500 is 16 to 20.
Yeah, but
Tesla's at 360. So how do we look at that? Well, there's popularity contest factor and there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of dreams cast out, right? But, you know, how do we make sense of that? It's actually a difficult thing. So if you're going to invest in some stocks like that, you got to make sure you're okay. And then maybe use a smaller amount of your portfolio because there's going to be a lot more up and down. You got to make sure you can handle that and not get into the fear and greed sector, right?
So cryptocurrencies, you mentioned you got some involvement there. For the long haul, crypto is going to be around. When do you take profits in cryptos or do you ever take profits? You got this movement called HODL. Hey, it looked like they were right a couple of weeks ago when Bitcoin hit an all-time high. Now it's had a pullback. It still is in a bullish trend. You know, up until last month, it was really in a bearish consolidation pattern, but it fooled everyone, came back. People tell me I don't understand cryptos. And, you know, I've been watching this market for a lot of years, got, you know, small exposure, relatively small relative to my overall portfolio. I find the whole thing fascinating because cryptos are just another market, aren't they?
Yeah, that's, you know, I personally, for me, I think crypto is very exciting, very interesting, but just like the strategy I teach for stock option, I focus on only the top 10 of the crypto. I don't want to play with any small company because the reason why is you can have a high potential, but 90% of them will fail. And when you have a big account, you're not into play those kind of game. So for me personally, you know, I was probably late. Like you said, you want to get involved 12 years ago. I never heard about crypto 12 years ago. I first heard about it in 2017. Went up to 20K, dropped back down to 10. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put in 10K USD. I'm going to buy one Bitcoin. I bought it through Binance. And what I did is I hide my password. I really wrote it on the paper and I hide it because I know if I don't hide it, I'll probably sell it right when it went down to 3,000. So I hide it. I couldn't find it. I'm like, I'm not going to take the effort to find it. But literally, my plan is to keep it for life, right? My plan is that this is, you know, on top of my stock option, on top of other business, on top of my real estate, on top of my insurance contract, insurance policy, crypto will be my last ever insurance for my grandkids. That's say if really US dollar does not have any value anymore, then there you go, grandkids. Don't thank me for it. This is how you can survive on it. And, you know, I can say I still get involved, but not too much, right? 10K right now, what, 50K, 60K? It's still okay, but I'm not trading it. I look at playing with option with crypto, but the spread is too big. The market makers are making a lot of money and it's hard to play the same strategy I'm playing. So I'd rather not get involved. I don't want the daily up and down, taking away a lot of my mental capacity on the real world, in my opinion. So I just put it there, right? And then, you know, let's see what happens.
Sure. Hey, so options, Cody. Most people lose money in options. How do you not become a options loser? What's the key to this?
Yeah. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with losing money on option. The reason I said that is because most people playing option think like this: Cody, I only have $1,000. I'm willing to lose it all, but I want to buy a chance to make it into 10,000. Most people play option thinking that they're buying a lottery. They want to go big. They want a 10X, right? So that's why I say no to a lot of people who want to sign up for the course, because I want people to sign up for the course to have the right mentality, have the right amount of money, at least a minimum amount. So they understand that we're not in to go big. We're here as a cash flow play, 1% to 4% per month, still 12 to 48% without compounding per year. It beat most of the mutual fund, and it beats the official inflation of 6% or the unofficial of 12, 15%. That's good enough for me. That's how I survive on a daily basis, right? So why people lose money, we talk about it, but how do people make money is you got to have the right mindset go in. I'm okay holding this stock, or okay holding SPX, right? S&P 500 for the long term. Long term bullish on it. Now, all the short term movement, it just creates opportunity for you. Don't over leverage. Don't use all your cash all the time. All of a sudden it dropped, average down in. But when it start coming back up, be more conservative, right? Just play with the cycle. And you know, you're making money 1% to 4% because you're selling option. You're like a casino owner, right? Instead of buying a lottery, we are the casino owner. We are the insurance company. That's why, because there's a lot of casino, they're making a lot of money. That's why a lot of the insurance company hold a lot of big buildings in any of the downtown cities in US, Canada, anywhere in the world. There's a reason why, because the odds are in their favor. We play the odds are in our favor. We don't want to get in the tree and say, I have 10% win rate, but I can 10X. No, I'd rather have an 80, 70 to 90% win rate. And the worst case is I buy a stock I want to own at a cheaper price. Then I turn around and sell some cover call, sell some, you know, some rented out for some cash flow again. And I know the long term, I believe in the stock, right? So that's a good place to be in. A lot of people think it's all about maximum gain, but no. It's about the balance. How can I get the most money, spending the least amount of time, least amount of stress in it? Then you're winning, right? Because you have other stuff in life you want to enjoy. You want to enjoy, you have kids, you have others, obligation, right? So if you're always getting in the market, you're going up and down emotionally, you're going to impact your other relationship, your health as well, right? And that's not what we want.
Right. All right. Well, hey, if people want to find out more about you, work with you, how do you do that, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, you can put in the description. I can put on my Facebook group where there's more than 4,000 people talking about stock option. I post a Facebook Live every Sunday, a lot of small value-added video in there as well. We can put it in the description. Or you can find me, you know, on my website, codyyeh.com, codyyeh.com. Find me there, or, you know, Facebook, Instagram. Very easy to find me.
All right. And of course, there's a link in the show notes to your site, Cody. So all you have to do is go and click it while you're at the site, sign up for a free newsletter. And Cody, appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.